This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So I see where dictionary.com has put out their 2024 editions, the new words going into dictionary.com, like greedflation, fire tornado, girl dinner, climate breakdown. I mean, these are, you know, words and phrases that we use really predominantly on social media, but I guess in common conversation as well. Skip lagging, bed rotting. We definitely have talked about that. Range anxiety, keto flu, sound bath, slow fashion, shacket, stellar, nursery, super fog, and those are just to name a few. But I found it interesting that they have a breakdown of what they, you know, what's new. They have 327 new entries. They have 173 new definitions. But the thing that really shocked me, and there's no list of what they are. I mean, obviously they have, you know, they give you some of the new phrases and new words, you know, like girl dinner. You know, it's a noun, an often attractively presented collection of snacks that involve little preparation, such as small quantities of cold cuts, cheese, fruit, cherry tomatoes, etc., deemed sufficient to constitute a meal for one. I guess that's girl dinner. But anyway, what I found really fascinating in their circle of, hey, we've got 327 new entries. We've got 173 new definitions. But they also say that they have 1,228 revised definitions. So if you think you know the meaning of a word, you probably don't, because those definitions have been revised, and it's changing before our very eyes. Just incredible. Save those old dictionaries. Welcome. What are dictionaries? Welcome to Chewing the Fat. While the case that won't go away, nearly 4 years after Harvey Weinstein was convicted of rape and sent to prison, the New York's highest court appeared torn at oral arguments yesterday about potentially overturning the landmark Me Too era verdict. Weinstein's lawyers argued that the state's court of appeals, they wanted to dismiss the disgraced movie mogul's 2020 conviction, arguing that the trial judge trampled his right to a fair trial with pro-prosecution rulings that turned the trial into 1-800-GET-HARVEY. It was his character that was on trial. It wasn't the evidence that was on trial. Okay. Weinstein, 71 now, convicted of a criminal sex act for forcibly performing oral sex on a TV and film production assistant in 2006 and rape in the third degree for an attack on an aspiring actress in 2013. He got 23 years in prison for that. And then he was convicted in Los Angeles of another rape and sentenced to an additional 16 years in prison. The lawyer for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office said, yeah, they were proper and the conviction should stand. Well, of course. Weinstein wants a new trial, but only for the criminal sexual act charge. They argue the rape charge can't be retried because it involves alleged conduct outside the statute of limitations. Reversing the verdict would reopen a painful chapter in America's reckoning with sexual misconduct by powerful figures. Yeah. So we'll see. The court is unlikely to rule immediately. Pretty incredible. I guess Harvey was watching on a live stream from the state prison, Mohawk Correctional Facility. Love Mohawk Correctional Facility this time of year. About 100 miles northwest of Albany. I mean, look, these allegations against him, and, you know, really, I mean, he claims that all the sexual activity was consensual. Okay. Really incredible. He wanted to testify and didn't because the judge said that he would have had to answer questions about more than 24 alleged acts of misbehavior dating back 4 decades, including fights with movie producers and his brother. And I mean, that was not part of the case, right? His bad behavior had nothing to do with the truth and veracity. It was all that he was a bad guy. Okay, so we'll see what happens. They also, I was really interested how I had forgotten that the judge allowed 2 or 3 women to testify about allegations that weren't part of the case. Just granting prosecutors, you can testify, you can confront him on it if he testified. Wait, those didn't have anything to do with this case. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. Now, the judge that oversaw this case now is not a judge any longer. His term expired. He was not reappointed. He's no longer a judge. The Court of Appeals agreed last year to take Weinstein's case after an intermediate appeals court upheld his conviction. Although prior to their rulings, the judges on the lower appellate court said, the judge's conduct during oral arguments, he let prosecutors pile on with incredibly prejudicial testimony from additional witnesses. So they weren't real happy with the judge either. So we'll see what happens. Now, he still will remain in jail if this happens because of the L.A. Conviction. So he's not getting out of jail anytime soon. So any of you that are having, your Me Too sweat coming back up, be okay. He'll still be in jail. The world and the streets will be safe. Then I see where Russell Simmons is sued for rape too. Remember the former music executive of Def Jam Recordings? He now is being sued again from a woman who claimed that he raped her while she was employed at Def Jam Records. The woman identified in the lawsuit as Jane Doe alleges that Simmons raped her at his apartment after she had come over to get approval on a rough cut of a music video. Okay, so this happened, I don't know, in the 90s? So according to the suit, Simmons brought Doe into his bedroom to watch the music video, at which point he began jumping on the bed while continuing to make sexual advances and asking Miss Doe to have sex with him. When Doe declined, he allegedly performed a wrestling move, climbing on top of her and pinning her arms down on the bed, and then proceeded to rape her, despite her having told him, "Hey, get off me and stop." That's, of course, she claims that she says that in the lawsuit. Now, this happened back in the 90s, and she then, I guess, left Def Jam. And in the years following, prior to this lawsuit, she has experienced debilitating anxiety and has had difficulty handling emotions in a professional setting. So the reason this came back up is because Jane Doe claims she saw Simmons at a yoga class around March of last year, which, it's been a long time, but she was still suffering from debilitating anxiety and had difficulty handling emotions in a professional setting, but she was taking a yoga class. Anyway, she said she ran into Simmons at the yoga class and inadvertently put her mat down next to his. That's how scared she was. And when she asked if it was okay to practice next to him, Simmons replied, "Of course. What do you think? I'm going to try and F you?" So it's not funny. It's not funny. And that's what shook her up. And that's what she couldn't go any longer. It's been since the 90s, and she's suffered that debilitating anxiety and difficulty handling emotions since then. But now she's got to do something because she set her mat down next to him at a yoga class, and he responded. So this is not, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is not the first woman to come forward about Simmons. So Simmons was accused of sexual assault by 4 other women, 3 of whom alleged rape, since at least 20 women have accused the music mogul of sexual impropriety. So Is it true? I guess it's possible that it is. But this was filed under the New York Adult Survivors Act, which drives me insane. But it allows for victims who were abused as adults to sue their alleged abusers without regard for the statute of limitations. But I thought that ended last November. So people are still using this act, but it expired. So I don't think it counts. Sorry about it. You should have realized that your debilitating anxiety and difficulty handling emotions should have been taken care of prior to the end of last year if you were going to use the New York Adult Survivors Act. If you weren't and you really just thought it was horrible and wanted to file a lawsuit against them, you probably should have done it earlier.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so today on Mojo 5-0 with Brad Staggs and Ron Phillips, we talked a little bit about the Kanye West, his Super Bowl commercial, and which I loved. It was $7 million for the 30-second Super Bowl commercial, and it was just him recording himself over on his phone. And I think a car, might have been the back of a boat, might have been the back of an Uber. I don't know. I don't know where he was. But, you know, it's a fascinating commercial.
Yeah, this is Gary, and this is my commercial. And
okay.
Since we spent all the money on the commercial spot, we actually didn't spend any money on the actual commercial. But the idea is, I want you to go to yeezy.com, yeezy.com. And I'm gonna write it at the bottom of the screen, and I got some shoes, and that's it.
Okay. So, so we got the commercial, and, you know, that's the Super Bowl commercial, and just go to, you know, yeezy.com, which he, did put on the screen. And I know that he's got his titanium teeth, which is being reported that he spent $850,000. I remember talking about that. I feel like originally it was $750,000. And now we're saying $850,000. Okay, so how much was it for his titanium dental implant? Okay, and so I know he had that. But I noticed in this commercial that he's got something happening with his lip. It's this protruding thing in the middle of his top lip. And I'm not sure what it was. Well, come to find out, I missed the argument about the lip bubble, the lip nipple, the lip nip, whatever it is, when he posted a video talking about his wife. People were mad that he was posting, showing his wife. I guess they were married back in December. I called her his girlfriend earlier. I guess they're married now. And he had posted a video walking through an airport, pissed that people were bashing him. Now, I remember this story, but I don't remember the video. So I must have only read the story and looked at the headline about Ye, and I wasn't concerned about the video. Had I seen the video, I would have asked the very same question about the thing on his lip. Now, I appreciate him sticking up for his wife and taking pictures of his wife, and he loves her, and he loves the way how hot she is, and they've been seen having sex on boats in Europe and stuff. So he's pissed that people are saying, "Hey, how come you keep showing your wife with hardly no clothes on?"
Yo, I just want to tell everybody I posted my wife 3 times on purpose.
And he shows her. Of course, she's wearing like a onesuit.
So what I'm saying is,
looking good.
I delivered the album. Then people still in my comments talking about, why are you posting your wife? Because she make me happy. That's why y'all happy with the music, because I'm happy. You understand? So don't ever say nothing negative.
If yeah.
you don't like my page and don't like what I'm posting, go f*** yourself. Seriously. Leave me, Leader King, the f*** alone.
I do remember a quote of that.
I don't care, bro. I'm going to post my wife as much as I want. Go post your wife on your Instagram.
Yeah, go post your wife on your Instagram. Okay, so I appreciate that from Ye. I got you, Ye. I'm with you on that. I remember seeing the quotes on that. Okay, now again, I'm behind him 100%. However, watching the video, you see this protruding thing on his lip, and it's driving me crazy. I don't know what it is. It's got to be some kind of implant. I'm not sure. People are commenting what it is. I looked. I said I would do a CTF investigation on the implant on the lip. There's no comment about it. He has not commented about it, and I'm not sure what it is. But it is strange looking. Now, maybe it's an implant that he uses to enhance the time he spends with his wife. I think that's a possibility, but he has not commented on it. As of now, it just looks like a growth, a cold sore growth on the middle of his upper lip. And while I don't mind the titanium teeth look, I'm not big on the cold sore in the middle of the lip look. But hey, if Ye wants to have that look, then have at it, Ye. I will say that if it is not a implant and it's some core sort of thing that he needs medicine for, maybe he should order a Jace case. Maybe he should go to jacemedical.com and order a Jace case today. Because if you need antibiotics and stuff, then you're going to need a Jace case. And maybe Ye needs the help. He should go to jacemedical.com today. Look, there's a shortage of vital medications for sure. Drug shortages have hit a record high. And it's causing severe disruptions in medical treatments. And there's delays and treatment cancellations and, unfortunate rationing of vital medications. Even important as antibiotic amoxicillin drugs are in short supply right now, along with 294 others. So maybe Ye needs to, take care of himself. If it's not an implant, have at it, Ye, no problem. But if it's not, you need the Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains 5 essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And Jace is continually working to expand their medication offerings. They've even added ivermectin as an option in the Jace case. Plus, you can buy a gift card for your family or loved ones. Ye could buy a gift card, could buy one for himself and buy one for the wife, too, as a gift card for family or other loved ones so that they could get a Jace case of their own and personalize it to their needs. I don't know what the wife needs. She may need a different antibiotic than Ye. I don't know that. But she could personalize her own Jace case for her needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. So get yours today. Go to jacemedical.com. jacemedical.com. Use the code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at the end of your checkout for your discount. jacemedical.com. J-A-S-E medical.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. All right, I see where Amazon Prime Video is now being sued by a class action lawsuit. Prime members, I was not asked to be part of this class action lawsuit, I'll tell you that. So apparently, Amazon Prime Video's members are initially believing that they were promised commercial-free Oasis. I know, that's what I said. And now they are pissed that they have to find themselves navigating ad breaks or shelling out an extra $2.99 a month for an ad-free stream. I know, that's what I said. And you're not navigating your ads, okay? They just play. I will say they do have the countdown on them, so it makes it a little bit better. You know when it's going to end, but there's no fast-forwarding through them, okay? So this sudden shift has prompted a lawsuit in California accusing Amazon of bait and switch that's left over 100 million subscribers facing ads by default. So the legal challenge seeking at least $5 million and a halt to Amazon's alleged ad-infested course. breach of contract, among other consumer protection violations. Yeah, bastards. So, okay, what they're going to do, I mean, really, what they should have done, and I know we talked about this before, but they should have just added the $3 on. They said, look, if you want to, you know, they were going to charge you $3 a month more for, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, why they're breaking it up, because the Amazon Prime Video is still part of the full Amazon Prime package. And there's got to be a reason that they don't break it up. And it's got, I mean, it obviously has to be money, duh. But I don't know why and what amount of money it brings in by keeping it all under one roof and how that affects the numbers for their streaming platforms. It's just it's a strange thing. And I'm, obviously, Jeff Bezos understands it. He's, I don't know, the second or third, maybe fourth richest guy on the planet. So he's got it figured out. I don't. But good luck with that. Good luck with that, because it's agonizing. I almost broke down and paid the $2.99 the other day because the ads were driving me insane. But then I thought, no, I'm not going to pay it. But we'll see. We shall see. Because what they're going to do is they're just going to attack it on to my Prime bill. And it'll be just like I paid another $3 a month for Amazon Prime. And that's how, if they would have upped the rates, saying, hey, we're upping the rates for Amazon Prime, $3 a month. And for your yearly package, it's for however long. And you would have said, okay. All right, fine, because you want to be able to have the stuff delivered to your home. I love that. I mean, more and more places are delivering things every day. 7-Eleven, there's drones. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to see the sky because it's going to be covered by drones delivering people's stuff. Because every retailer, we deliver to your home. Just tell us, we'll be there within 30 minutes delivering in drones. And maybe that's just Dallas-Fort Worth. But man, every company wants my drone business. They want me to order goods from them so that they can deliver it to my home with their drones. And so when the skies are dark, it's because drones are blocking the sun. Okay, who died today? Who died today? Lisa Lopez Galvin. Lisa Lopez Galvin is the victim of the Super Bowl parade mass shooting. She is so far the only confirmed death from the Super Bowl parade mass shooting in Kansas City, Missouri. Yesterday, the 14th of February, 2024. Very sad. She was a local DJ, did weddings and stuff. She also did a show once a week on KKFI 90.1 FM. She did, it was a show called The Taste of Tejano, which I guess is music from northern Mexico. And they confirmed that she did lose her life. She was the mother of two. And no story tells me her age, so I have no idea how old she is or was. But she did die during surgery after suffering a gunshot wound to her abdomen. Now, 22 people, I believe, so far have been injured, at least 8 children. Still not clear what happened. They have 3 people in custody, 2 of whom, I guess, were armed. There was like a million people there. It was for the Kansas City Super Bowl parade. All the Kansas City players and coaches and is fine. Obviously everybody, prayers for Kansas City, senseless act of violence. And of course, our president wants you to know that, we need to pass gun reform legislation. So there's that. Rest in peace, Lisa Lopez Galvin. All right, be sure to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me on YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. And of course, you can order a cameo from me. That, of course, is not free, but cameo at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. All right, I'm looking forward to talking to Michael Jammin. He's coming up. Michael Jammin is a TV writer, showrunner, and now author with his new book out. And we'll be talking to Michael just around the corner. All right, Michael Jammin. Michael Jammin, writer. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. I see you've joined us in your office. I may want a tour. I may need a tour of the Michael Jammin writer office because you have plenty of little knickknacks that I want to know about. But sure. I know that you are busy out promoting your brand new spanking book. Which, I mean, I started reading it. I haven't finished it. Paper Orchestra. I apologize. But I have enjoyed everything that I've read so far.
Thank you.
I know that you're Mr. Big Shot television writer, Mr. Big Shot showrunner. And I definitely want to talk to you about some of the things that you've worked on and some of the things that you're working on here in the future. But first and foremost, the new book, Paper Orchestra. So... Did you start writing this during the strike or was it during the pandemic? When did you decide, you know what, I need to write a book for myself and not someone else?
This is 4.5 years ago I decided to start.
Yeah, okay.
So this is before the pandemic. And it was really just a passion project of mine. I've always been a fan of David Sedaris. I love his writing. I love what he writes about. And so this was just my version of what he does. So there are true stories, but they're fictionalized to tell them in a more dramatic way. So as if I'm a character in my own story.
It's revisionist history is what you're doing. The book is...
Well, not really. I mean, it's all true. It's just the fact that you're just, at the time I didn't live it as a story. So I'm recounting it as a story.
So now... Okay, so I love the comment or the question. It's more of a question statement, really, in the beginning of the book. What if the smallest, almost forgotten moments were the ones that shaped us most?
Yeah.
And I mean, they really are, unless, you're in prison for something really big. And then it's a big moment that shapes your life, right? That's the only thing you're known for. But if you're not that guy, it is the smallest moments that shape us for sure, even if we don't realize it.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. I enjoyed one of the things as I started going through your book is, and I'm sure this is what you were hoping for, but brought back your own memories.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm starting to read about you as a youngster, and I'm reminded of all the dingleberry things that went through my mind and trying to survive those years. I particularly enjoyed the sister car ride.
Yeah.
With this cancer with the fingernails and the legs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the friend puking. Actually, LOL'd, Michael.
I hope so. I mean, I hope to make you laugh when you're reading it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good. Do you still, you still believe that you get the fingernails in your thighs, you're going to get cancer?
I don't know. I know a little more about science now, but that was the year.
What is your, I know that you, you talked in one, about ghosting one of your girlfriends, Marissa, right?
Yeah.
That was her name? Yeah. Did you ever run into Marissa at all since you've ghosted her? Like, at a coffee shop and like, you bastard.
No, I mean, I live far away from where I went to college, but, we communicate once every few years, and she's lovely. She's very sweet. So
what was, how many, okay, so you started writing this, and I know I've heard you talk a little bit about, and you even mentioned in the book, I believe, that maybe in the epilogue somewhere, that you, you know, started writing it, and then, it, you know, obviously the memories would bring back other memories, yeah, which is the way it, you know, works for everyone. You start sitting around telling stories, and you realize, oh yeah, that leads me into remember this. So yeah, how much made the, how much is on the cutting room floor? How many memories are this of long gone going from book four?
Most of it. I mean, I don't have a terrific memory, but the stuff that I do remember, I must be remembering for a reason. It must be some emotional reason why I'm attached to it. And then if I can figure out what that is, maybe there's a story in it. But I have a list of memories that I keep, just, you know, I jot them down. And then when I start a new story, I look at these memories and I go, is there anything there? And most of them, there isn't. Most of them, there's not enough to sustain the interest in, right, in the story. So I don't write about those.
Right. How often do you, jumping away from the book just a little bit, but when you're writing for shows, films, I mean, you mostly do television work.
Yeah.
How often do you watch something, see something else, and say, wow, I never would have thought of that?
Oh, it's not that I don't think of it. I just, you know, I'll have an appreciation for what they're doing. It's not that I don't, you know, I don't, it's not that I like, if the writing is really good, I don't even think about it. I'm just immersed in the story. It's when the writing is bad, then I think about it.
With so much content in the world these days, and you know, there are so much content out there that it seems to me, as just a viewer and a watcher, that there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for, not good content out there. How are we going to get past all that? I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, now that you guys are over with your strike, Michael, and you're making all kinds of money, you're making all kinds of residual money, you're raking in the cash. In fact, you're just swimming in cash now.
Yep.
That the strike is.
The secret is not to watch something that you don't think is good.
Yeah, right.
You that
right.
Making
it. right. So how are you, how's it going? With all the platforms and the content, I mean, it's changed so much that, you know, with the way it works now, how are you dealing with that? You okay? Everything? I mean, have you figured it out that, oh, this is how it works now?
No, I don't think Hollywood has figured it out right now. I think we're in a period of transition, which is why I'm happy to continue doing my own work on the side and writing books on the side, because Hollywood can't tell me what to do and I don't have to wait for anybody. So when they figure it out, well, you know, more shows will be made. Right now it's a transition period.
Yeah. I see where you talked about going on tour with the book. Yeah. And okay, so back up for just a little bit. The audiobook. You did all of the audio in the audiobook?
I'm the narrator. I do the voice, the narration. Yeah. So I perform it. It's a performance, really. So I don't read the book.
Okay.
I kind of perform it. And it really comes alive. And I have a composer, a guy named Anthony Rizzo, who I worked with on a show called Marin. He composed all the music. So we end the piece with some music to carry the emotion through until the next piece. So it really, I don't think it's like other audiobooks. I think it's an audiobook that's produced by a television producer. So it feels more.
Well, I mean, it actually is an audiobook.
Yeah.
Produced by a television producer. I got it. So I love that. So a paper orchestra, obviously available, you know, wherever you get your books, more specifically, michaeljamin.com.
Yeah,
would be the best place to do that. So back to that. So you did the audiobook as more of a storytelling production. Is that how you foresee the tour?
I've already started performing it. I mean, I didn't come up with this idea. David Sedaris, this is kind of what he does. And he has a book, he has a collection, then he'll perform it live in front of an audience. Then he'll go to another town and do the same thing. And so this is just, you know, I'm a huge admirer. So this is what I do. And the stories are very, my type of writing is very different from his. I absolutely adore his writing, but it's a different kind of show. So yeah, that's.
Are you gonna you just do a one man show?
Basically,
is that,
yeah.
How, is that how you are perceiving it in your head? Because I find it fascinating that you would perform it less, not just come out and read it. You know.
Oh no, yeah, it's more of a performance, and we've already done a handful of shows. And then I wanted to wait. We stopped. I wanted to wait till the book was out so that we could, because people wanted to buy the book after the show. So I do signing after the show, and then we'll continue. We'll probably start up again, probably May, but maybe before that.
All stadium tours.
Yeah. No, there's small theaters. So if anybody wants to see me, they can sign up at jammin.com/upcoming, and then you'll get a list of when I come to your town. You have a notification.
So when you started, like I, you know, all your social media accounts, Michael Jammin Writer, at Michael Jammin Writer, except for you're not on X, right? No X.
I am, but it's M Jammin Writer. There's too many letters.
Oh, so,
but I don't tweet.
Elon, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Let the man have his name. But really you're more focused, at least in my world, I see you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Mostly, and you really started going to town almost every day the last, I don't know, what, 3-4 years, really?
It's probably been about 2.5 years, but I post almost every day on social media, and I give writing tips. I talk about writing, I talk about Hollywood, sometimes I'm funny and sometimes I'm educational, whatever, and that is all just to build my audience so that when the book came out, people would want to
absolutely read. Yeah. I haven't taken any of your writing classes, but I have listened to quite a bit of what you've talked about. Really fascinating. And I enjoy my favorite post of yours, as long as we're talking about posts, is wearing the old army jacket post.
Oh, yeah. It's my father-in-law, so yeah.
Very, very good. Yeah. In fact, my father-in-law, as well as yours, was in Nam, I'm guessing. I don't know that, but he was... I was laughing at your post, and then he had to tell me the story again about how his went missing, and he was still angry about it.
Oh, wow.
Guess his brother took it or something. So, also, as I went through the book, and I was enjoying the chapters, some of the ones that, came to mind, like I really enjoyed the magic trick, obviously, very good. Very good. The Jessica suitcase of memories with the lost love of Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Are you guys okay? And
oh, for sure. Okay.
You and the wife and Jessica are all absolutely good.
She's happily married and she lives not far from me. I see her every, I don't know, maybe once or twice a year or something. So, it's absolutely fine.
The lost love of letters on the suitcase, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a nice story.
Pretty amazing. Yeah,
all nice little stories. So
any which one is your favorite? I know you've got what, like 20, I think, something like that. It looked like
17.
There was like
10.
Okay.
My favorite is the last one that I wrote. That's always how it works, you know.
Okay.
But they're all kind of just different. It's hard to say which is my favorite. I people respond so differently to them. People say, oh, this is my favorite. Oh, great. You know, it's just how people respond. So my intention was to kind of delight you with each one. So whatever, my favorite is your favorite.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. That's so nice. All right. So then you say in the book that you still have your giant bag of footballs. Is that true?
Here's one. I mean, here's one of them from it, but it's back there. Yes, it's a giant bag of balls. Yeah.
So, as a punter, I mean, in today's world, with Pat McAfee all over the place with his for the brand as the punter, are you you still going out and kicking some?
Yeah, occasionally. I'm not very good. It's amazing how. I mean, at one point I was okay, and now I'm old, and it's like, geez, it's what's the point? I mean, it's amazing how bad I am now. But I do, it's a nice way of clearing my head. I do it occasionally. Yeah.
Do any of your children ever are athletes or no. anything where you say, I used to do that. I used
no,
to.
No, no.
Well, I was a kicker.
We got a family of artists, so that's
good.
What they do. Yeah,
good. All right. So, and when you do your posts, it's usually right in this neck of the woods in your office. Yeah. So what do we have? What do we got? I want the Michael Jammin tour.
Well, I suppose this might be interesting to you. So I did a show many years ago. It was an animated show called Glenn Martin DDS, and my partner and I were the showrunners. And so these are the puppets, and so they have armatures in them. And this was Kevin Nealon was the star.
Nice.
Ryan Cranston played this guy over here. And so they, you know, when the show was canceled, they give us the
here's balls. The puppet, get out of here, hit yeah. the bricks. So all the shows that you've done, what are you working on now? Anything other than you're just hawking your book? I mean, the Paper Orchestra is it and you're good to go, or are you
I'm doing an animated project with the guys from Broken Lizard, the guys who created a show called movie called Super Troopers. So we're doing a project with them. It's animated, but right now it's just the focus of the book. The book just dropped on Tuesday and or Wednesday, and so I'm not promoting the book.
Excellent. So I'm fascinated as what a showrunner does. Tell me what you as a showrunner do for a TV show.
So the showrunner is usually the executive producer. The showrunner is the head writer, and they decide what stories are going to be told and how they are going to be told. That's the main responsibility, is running the writer's room. But aside from that, you have other responsibilities. You are in charge of casting. You make all the decisions for wardrobe, for how the set should look. You are on set. You're working with the actors and the director. You're in charge of the editing, the post-production. I mean, you are the boss. That's what.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so as the head of the writer, so you, if you were not the showrunner and just a writer, are you ever doing anything? Have you ever doing anything that you want, or are you just using direction from the showrunner and working inside of that frame?
No, I'm co-executive producer, so I'm not the boss. And your job is basically to pitch ideas. And the showrunner says, I like that, I don't like that.
Shows, bits, right. And I find that really fascinating. It's got to be some long days.
Oh, it can be very long.
It's got to be some very long days. So the latest book available wherever you get your books, although I'd rather get it at michaeljammin.com. I saw where you told someone, I believe, how to get a free audiobook.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Basically, if you go to michaeljammin.com, here's my book, and from there you can sign up for a free Audible trial, and then you can download, there's a link, and then you download a Paper Orchestra, then you just cancel the trial, and I get paid and you get the book.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice. And really, I mean, that's wrong, Michael, and I don't want people to
it's not wrong.
I want people to purchase your book, Michael.
Oh, this is an offering from Amazon. Amazon owns Audible. This is it's not a sneaky thing. This is what they're happy to do it. So.
Good. Then, Jeff's, he's made enough cash. He's got the yacht. He's got the yacht for him and the wife, or girlfriend still. He'll be fine. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine. So, Paper Orchestra, what would you say, should I buy the book today?
Buy the book, yes.
Arrives in my house.
Yeah.
Should I just start from the beginning and go, or should I start at the back and go?
No, you know what? The stories can be read in any order because it's not serialized. The order that I put, we agonized over what order it should go in, and this is the order we decide on because I thought, well, this is a nice flow. It has an ebb and flow. And
yeah.
This one's light and this one's a little heavier. You don't want to do all that heavy stories up front. But someone just commented that they're reading it out of order. And I'm, that's good. I don't know why. I think the titles are what interest her. And so she decided to read it out of order. Oh, that's fine with me.
If my favorite story is your favorite story, then whatever order you want to read it in should be fine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't care.
Whatever
you read the book. Just read the book. That's all you care about.
Yeah.
Very funny. So I appreciate it, Michael. I look forward to your posts on all your social media accounts. And I was really looking forward to the book, and I've been enjoying reading it very much. What final Michael Jamin writer words of wisdom would you leave with us?
Words of wisdom, I would
here
say,
chewing the fat.
Yeah, I would hope that for those who read the book, they'll make you think about your own life and examine the own smallest moments of your life. And like I said, even though the details are from my life, but I'm really the stories are yours, and that's
absolutely
what I relate to.
It's fascinating. Okay, thank you, Michael Jamin. I appreciate your time. Good luck with the rest of the book sales, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on the tour.
Yeah, thank you again.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.